Styles here on WWDB. I am Dee Lynam, your host for the next 30 minutes. Our sponsor for today's show is American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and creative ideas that can help your company, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That phone number again, 484-562-0063. We welcome to today's show James Rosen, but I'm going to call him Jim because he said I could. He is Temple made. And Jim, you have worn so many hats through the years. Like, you are an actor, you are an author, you are a producer. If somebody says to you, what do you do for a living? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth?
I would just tell them I've been to a few barbecues. And no, I'm basically writing now. I hung up the grease paint, you know. Not by choice, but acting is a very, very competitive, very difficult.
No matter what age?
No matter what age, it doesn't, you know, unless
or
you're a very...
Or how long your resume
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Unless you're a very distinctive character actor, or if you're, you know, a handsome leading man that's built up an accumulation of credits over the years, and you're in a small circle of people that work all the time. But, you know, when I was acting, I think 85% of the Screen Actors Guild was unemployed. It was always like that. So,
all right, before I get off this topic to get into what you write about in your documentaries, was there a character that you did repeatedly? Because I know some of the shows you were on were that
no.
you particularly cared for.
Well, I guess one of my favorite parts was on a Quincy episode where I played a coach, track coach, and I wrote the episode. So it was a Bobby Knight type theme, and the coach was I was the assistant coach, and I turned against him because he I thought he was the cause of one of the runners' demise. So he was too harsh in his training methods. So the whole town turned against him. It was a very good story. It was all about what price we pay to win. It's called The Hope of Elkwood, and this boy was the Hope of Elkwood. And I had a certain affection for that as an actor. My favorite show that I wrote was about an autistic child. That was a wonderful episode. I got a close up on TV Guide Jack was very, very vehement about doing a show about autism, and it got a lot of notoriety. I think hopefully it opened up some of the doctors' eyes as to the difference between, at the time, autism and mentally challenged people, you know.
I was going to say, because that would have been ahead of the time.
Yeah,
now there is a lot of awareness with autism, but back you're saying...
1978.
Yeah.
I'm older than I look.
By the way, Quincy was one of my favorite shows when I was growing up.
Yeah,
I loved
that
show.
I did 6 as an actor and 4 as a writer, yeah. I was very blessed to become involved with that show.
So Philly Hoops, a book that you wrote, but also a documentary. Did they go hand in hand, the projects together?
I can't remember if the book came out first or the documentary. I did the documentary, I think, first, and then I came out with a book, I think. I'm getting older. I'm starting to forget things.
So for people to know, the book or the documentary, either way, is about the original pro basketball teams in the great city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, the Spas and the Warriors, yeah.
So the Spas were, I don't think enough people realize how successful they were winning championships.
Yeah.
Is that the reason you did the project? Because people should be...
You know, we were just talking about this, Joe Ball and I... When my mother, God rest her soul, used to talk about the dances at the Broadwood Hotel, and they would be held after the game. The Spas played at the Broadwood Hotel. They had a beautiful ballroom there, and then the baskets would come up, and one of the players on the team was a band leader, Gil Fitch, and he would perform with his band, and it was a great meeting place. It was a great social event in Philadelphia for people to come to the Broadwood Hotel, watch the Spas play, and then afterward, dance. And it's where a lot of grandpops met grandmoms, you know. It really was quite an event in the 30s and 40s. So when she told me about these things, I said, this is interesting. Spas, and I did what kind of name is Spas? And then I did research, and I learned Spas was an acronym for their original sponsor, the South Philadelphia Hebrew Association, which was at 4th and Reed. And the more I read, the more I became interested about the history of basketball and how it evolved, you know, in Philly. And then the Warriors, of course, and Eddie Gottlieb was a very colorful man. He was involved with both teams. And that was it. And fortunately, Paul Arizin and Tom Gola and Harvey Pollack and Ernie Beck and all these wonderful people that I grew up with as a small boy were very willing to revisit the old days, you know. And I look now, they're all gone, most of them, and it's I'm glad that they sat down with me
to do this
and shared with me before they got up and left the table, you know.
How many spectators could that Broadway hotel hold? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
I was just curious at how many people would go.
I don't know. It's a parking lot now, so we'll never find out, but I think quite a few. I don't know. I doubt it was in the thousands, maybe hundreds.
And that was the American Basketball League at that time.
Yes, uh-huh. That began in 1933. The Spas created in 1918, and then they played to 1926. They disbanded. They reorganized in 1929 and played in a league called the Eastern League, which had teams in Trenton and Reading and Philly and nearby towns. And then in 1933, they were invited to join the American Basketball League. And between that and 1945, they won 7 titles in 12 years.
Anybody ever say why they were so successful? I mean, usually it is talent, but it could have been.
I don't know. Eddie Gottlieb was a great basketball mind and coach, and he's very demanding. I remember Ernie Beck and George Dempsey telling me about when they played on the Warriors in the 40s, in the late 40s, early 50s, how demanding he was and how strict he was. But he was a great promoter. He was a great coach. He was a great businessman. So I think he put all those things together. There was a certain spirit and will instilled in all the players, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had some very good, you know, he filled the roster with all college all-stars, you know, in college. Red Rosen was an All-American from Temple.
Harry Litwack.
He had Harry Litwack. He had Petey Rosenberg from South Philly. He had a couple of players. He brought in the center from New York, Art Hillhouse. Most of the roster were Jewish, and I think at that time there was something about the Jewish culture in basketball, because in those days people lived side by side, on top of each other, underneath each other, alongside each other, and there was nothing to do. So you'd find a peach basket in the alleyway, and there was a will to get out of the Jewish ghetto at the time, you know. So basketball was a way for a lot of these people to, you know, achieve this upward mobility and get out from underneath where they were, because, you know, these people, their parents came over on the boat, and they wound up in South Philly because that's where the ship docked, you know. So
do you know why the Spas went to the wayside? What happened?
Well, what happened is, the Basketball Association of America was created by Eddie Gottlieb and the owner of Madison Square Garden, Ned Irish, the owner of the Boston Arena, Walter Brown, and that the Basketball Association of America was the precursor of the NBA. That existed for 3 years, from 46 to 49, and you had the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks, the Philadelphia Warriors, you had the Washington Capitals, the Baltimore Bullets, Providence Steamrollers, St. Louis Bombers, and Chicago Stags. Those were the teams that pretty much stayed for the 3 years. They played 60 games. 1 year they played 48. And then in 1949, the NBA was created.
Got you.
And we can get into that. But basically, with the advent of BAA, the Spas really became an exhibition team.
Got you. All right, sit tight. We will talk about the NBA and the Warriors. We didn't really touch on them yet. We're talking to Jim Rosen, the author of Philly Hoops and also a documentary that you can watch. We're back in a moment on Lifestyles.
Music, music. Now at the Ardmore Music Hall, a grand music venue in the heart of the Main Line. The venue is located at the legendary 23 East Lancaster Avenue in Ardmore, once known for its musical talent. Free parking nearby. For full information and tickets, see webpage at ardmoremusichall.com. ardmoremusichall.com or call 610-649-8389. That's 610-649-8389. The webpage again, ardmoremusichall.com. It's a grand music venue in Ardmore in the heart of the Main Line.
Did you know in Jewish tradition, a fetus is not considered viable till after it graduates from medical school? Hi, I'm Brad Zimmerman. Come see my new comedy, My Son the Waiter, A Jewish Tragedy.
The New York Times calls it great comedy, and the Huffington Post raves, you'll laugh your tuckers off.
Joan Rivers once said, I've had three great opening acts, Billy Crystal, Gary Shandling, and Brad Zimmerman. Catch My Son the Waiter. For tickets, visit mysonthewaiter.com.
October 5th through November 19th at Penn's Landing Playhouse in the Independent Seaport Museum, Columbus Boulevard, and Walnut Streets on the waterfront. For tickets, call 1-888-HIT-SHOW or go to mysonthewaiter.com.
Wildwood, a great place to vacation or have a family gathering or organization event. And now there's a deep, deep discount on reservations. Yes, huge savings on rooms at the well-known, beautiful Acropolis Oceanfront Resort on the beach, North Wildwood. Some restrictions do apply. Call the Acropolis Oceanfront Resort at 866-522-1515. That's 866-522-1515. 866-522-1515. Save big.
The major holidays are almost upon us. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. Are you prepared for your holiday party events? We produce events for the holidays and other occasions. May we package your business or personal holiday event? Are you considering a Santa Claus or three-piece band? Or a special celebrity guest, a Christmas carol, choir, or perhaps catering, possibly walk-around magicians, fortune tellers. We aid corporate events, smaller business attractions, family affairs. Just tell us your goals, free consultation, free ideas. Contact Wilms for Rent. Call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063.
Welcome back to Lifestyles. We are talking to Jim Rosen, author of many books, as we're saying right now, but we were talking about Philly Hoops. Jim, before we continue, you were saying if somebody wanted to read Philly Hoops or get the DVD, where would they go?
Well, the DVD is available on Amazon, and it's also available on oldies.com. Oldies.com is the site for Alpha Video is a division of Gotham Distributing. So their website is oldies.com, and Alpha Video is the company that put it out. So Amazon and oldies.com, the best places. The book is out of print, but there's still many copies floating around, and you could buy them on Amazon. Yeah.
What inspired you to do the book, Philly Hoops, in terms of from a historical, or were you always a basketball junkie?
Well, I don't know that I was a junkie, but I love sports growing up. So I remember the Warriors playing at Convention Hall and at the ice rink at 45th and Market, and mostly Convention Hall, I guess, when I was growing up in the 50s. And got older, I thought it would be nice to do a book on it because nobody had done a book on the Warriors. They were a forgotten team, you know?
How could you forget when they had a guy named Wilt Chamberlain?
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody, was very much involved with the 76ers. And since they came here in 1963, a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, when you talk about 1963, 64, when the 76ers came here, that to them was history. To go back further, the Warriors, San Francisco, the Golden State Warriors, no, the Philadelphia Warriors.
Do you think that's because they took exception to the fact that the team went west?
Probably. I mean, you know, for purposes of immediacy, hey, the 76ers, that's our team. Warriors? Yeah, they played here. Oh, okay.
When you see the game today, are you equally a fan of basketball still? Because it's played very different.
Yeah, I love watching this the Sixers and the Eagles, and it's different. I mean, when I was a kid, and I think Paul Arizin was very concise in the documentary. He said we played defense. Eddie Gottlieb outlawed the zone defense for a while because he thought it was boring for the fans. So you had man-to-man, and Paul said, if you didn't cover your man, we'll get somebody into the Ken, you know. And there was more teamwork. There was more passing. There was no three-point shot, you know. It was a mid-range jump shot. Players didn't play for stats and money. They stayed with teams longer. It was a totally different game, I think, than it is today. And the athletes today are much bigger and stronger than they were in the 1950s.
Would you say that the basketball fan in this city was always as passionate as they are now? I shouldn't even say just basketball. The Philadelphia sports fan is unique.
I think so. I think they were passionate then. I think it's intensified because of the media access now. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was growing up, you had, you know, you dialed the phone. There were no answering machines. There were no computers. There were no cell phones. There was none of this sophisticated electronics we have today. And you're under a microscope now. In the old days, you know, you had three TV stations and you listened to the radio and you had a little transistor radio, and that was it. So, you know, it's definitely made it much more intense. But I think I take pride. I lived in L.A. for 11 years and New York for 9. I was gone from here for 23 years. But I always consider myself a Philadelphian. I'm proud of it because the people here are great fans. They really are. New York fans are great, too. L.A. fans are kind of diffusé. It's a very odd area geographically. It's so spread out. But Philly fans,
they live it, passionate. They breathe it. Yep.
Yeah, there's a certain down-to-earthness and unassumption. And they love you when you do well, and when you don't do so well, they'll spank you, but they love you, you know, like parents, you know?
Absolutely. Sit tight. I have to take one more time out here on Lifestyles, but we are talking to Jim Rosen.
Into rock and roll? Then visit Philadelphia's Hard Rock Cafe. Enjoy the huge menu and especially view the memorabilia. There's the legendary Jim Morrison jacket, acquired from Danny Sugarman, manager of the Doors. See the guitar that John Mayer created. He played with Eric Clapton. From Elton John, his Uncle Sam costume, also Shakira's leather pants. The list goes on. Memorabilia from Jimi Hendrix and Joan Jett. Lunch or dinner, Hard Rock Cafe, 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia. It's an experience. Also hosting corporate events, social gatherings, bar mitzvahs. Hard Rock Cafe is cool. 12th and Market, 215-238-0639. 215-238-0639, 12th and Market Streets, Philadelphia.
My name is Joe Ball. I am 88 years old. 88 years old. I don't look that old, except in the mirror. I've been in business over 61 years, aiding small and medium-sized firms with their advertising and related needs. I'm still at it. Benefit. You can benefit from my lifetime experiences. Call me personally at 484-562-0060. That's 484-562-0060. Or see www.phillybizmedia.com. That's www.phillybizmedia.com. Make your contact soon, for obvious reasons. I'm 88 years old. 484-562-0060.
Wildwood, a great place to vacation or have a family gathering or organization event. And now there's a deep, deep discount on reservations. Yes, huge savings on rooms at the well-known, beautiful Newport Beach Resort in front of the beach and boardwalk next to Subway Deli Wildwood. Some restrictions do apply. Call the Newport Motel at 800-831-3178. That's 800-831-3178. 800-831-3178. Plan early, save big.
Want to lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 6 weeks while eating real food? Don't want to deal with messy shakes, bars that taste like cardboard, or disgusting prepackaged food? ChiroThin could be just what you're looking for. Here's what ChiroThin is not: a fad diet, exercise program, drugs, or surgery. ChiroThin is doctor supervised and is one of the fastest ways to lose 20 or more pounds. To find out if you're a candidate for ChiroThin, call 610-237-6645. That number is 610-237-6645. And schedule your no charge, no obligation consultation.
Need a speaker for your business meeting, organization, or group meetings? Need a speaker who is entertaining, inspiring, and informative? Need a speaker who is an authority on a subject close to your interest? We provide them. We are the Philadelphia Speakers Bureau. For speakers who serve your interests, call 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Again, 484-562-0063. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Or write to us at adcomtimes at AOL.com. ADCOMTIMES at AOL.com. Adcomtimes.
Welcome back to Lifestyles. We are talking to Jim Rosen. And Jim, you're the author of many books. We talked about Philly Hoops, but you have an affection for music in the past, too.
Yes.
Also about the historical part of it and what has come out of Philadelphia?
Oh, sure. Philadelphia has a great music history. There's like 200 musical artists that have come out of Philadelphia, I think. And I went back to, you know, the 50s, the advent of R&B, which began in the late 40s. And, you know, in the 50s, American Bandstand with Bob Horn, American Bandstand with Dick Clark and Grady and Hurst, Summertime on the Pier, and then the golden years of rock and roll, you know, and all the great artists that came out of South Philly. It's amazing, you know.
When you're working on a project, do you enjoy the research as much as you enjoy the actual writing?
Yeah, because I get to talk to, you know, I've been very lucky in all the books I've done, the music books and the TV shows. I'm able to contact all the people that were involved, the artists, the performing artists, the actors, the writers. And they've all been very willing to relive the glory days, and that's the fun in it, you know. And you get firsthand information, so no one can read the book and say I didn't. And I would always call the person back, and read the interview back to them, or send them the interview, so that there was no
question about what was said.
Yeah,
and what you were
I would cringe if somebody misquoted me. So I always, and I never had any complaints. No one's come after me. As of today, when I drove down here to do this interview, nobody's been knocking on my door, so I guess I've been doing the right thing, right?
All right, so you have a couple of projects that you've written that you're trying to get made into movies. I'm curious, writing books is different than writing
screenplays. Oh, sure, yeah.
Do you have a preference with those two?
No, I just, you know, if you're inspired by something, whether it's a book or a screenplay or a stage play,
you'll find a way to make
it. Yeah, you just, I mean, you, inspiration's a big deal, you know? And if you're inspired as an actor or a writer or a director, you find yourself just delving into it. And whether it's one form or another or one genre or another, it doesn't matter, you know?
And of your projects that are out there that you're trying to pitch, what are some of the things?
Well, I have three. The first one is Boogie Woogie Blues, which is the musical. It's a musical drama. It's the biography of Charlie Gracie, who was the first rock and roll superstar to come out of Philadelphia. He has a very compelling story, and I went back and watched a lot of other musical bios about Buddy Holly and Richie Valens, La Bamba, and I thought that Charlie's story was equally compelling, if not more so. And then I have a crime drama about community policing, which is a very relative time, a timely issue. That's more of a, I think, a TV project, like a miniseries. And then I have a drama that's very close to my heart about a boy that has schizophrenia, but he's very high functioning. And it's not a clinical drama. It's about, and the problems he has in a small town. And he's a writer, a sensitive boy, a handsome boy. And it's really about accepting people that are different than we, misunderstanding them and the problems that arise from that. It's called Butterfly. But in the end, this boy recovers. It's a very interesting story. It's called Butterfly. So those are my three projects. And
was Butterfly inspired by a particular person that you knew?
When I was an actor in New York, I used to do some volunteer work on Long Island in Amityville. And I had a class of eight people. They all had schizophrenia, chronic undifferentiated schizophrenia. One girl had paranoid schizophrenia. And we would do acting improvisations and we'd do writing. And I grew to really have affection for all these people. They were, you know, they were just like you and me, except something was awry, but they took medication for it. And one boy in particular was, I really thought was interesting. They all were interesting, but this boy touched me in a way, and he became the protagonist in my drama. And I wonder what happened to him sometimes, you know. But he was a highly intelligent guy, and he used to love to go down to the pond and where he lived. They all lived in a group home, various group homes on Long Island. And he would love to watch the swans because he said they were so graceful.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
There's the analogy between Butterfly and his condition, because he says in the script once, you know, butterflies are very sensitive and delicate, so you can't get close enough to touch them. And really it was a metaphor. He was talking about himself, you know, because of his condition. But in the end, he recovers. He marries a girl that originally rejects him because she finds out he has had a mental illness. They get married. They have a child. He becomes a teacher. It's a very uplifting drama.
Wow. I'll look forward to seeing that.
I hope that has to get made.
That has to get made.
I hope so. I really do. I think it'll be a great project for Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, it's time's too short here today, but thank you for coming in. It was fun talking.
Thank you. I've always enjoyed you and your father.
Ah, thank you. All right, we've been talking to Jim Rosen. He's an author. He's a screenwriter. He produces documentaries. And we've been talking with him today on lifestyles. Today's show has been sponsored by American Advertising Services, Philadelphia's longest established advertising and publicity firm. For free information and ideas, give Joe Ball a call at 484-562-0063. That's 484-562-0063. Until next time, have a great day. I'm Dee Lynam.